Hey everybody, a very warm welcome and thanks again for tuning in to Skatespot Pod. We have, like usual, two fantastic spots that we're going to feature today in this episode. Just a few formalities before we dive into the episode. We would really appreciate it if you keep putting reviews on the streaming services that you are using to listen to this podcast. It really helps us out more than you would know. So thank you very much for the people who have already done that. The second thing is that during this year, and probably towards the end of this year, coming sort of end of autumn, sort of winter, there is going to be a documentary released on the Automobile and Snake Run. So if you haven't listened to our pilot episode or the first episode of our first season, then please do so. So it features one of Sweden's oldest skate parks that is kind of just rotting on private property. And there has been a Swedish filmmaker who has been looking into this place. I've done some interviews for that documentary, and he was actually here last week just doing some more filming and actually wanting to kind of feature the podcast in the documentary, which is super cool. So as it looks now, it will be featured on a Swedish TV station called SVT. I will give a little bit more details once it gets closer to the release, but yeah, it's going to be super interesting. It's a fantastic story, and Jonathan's a great filmmaker, so really, really watch out for that. It's going to be great. All right, so diving into this week's episode, and we are going to be looking at a few really cool spots. One of those is the floating ramp that was placed in Lake Tahoe, and it was skated by Bob Bernquist. This one is a place that we actually posted up on Facebook several months ago, and the post kind of just exploded. It's not a recent thing. It is going back to 2014. A lot of people still don't know about this and are super interested, and we got a massive sort of response on social media. So really wanting to feature this one for you guys today. Some of you who probably know about it, others of you who don't. Either way, it's a really cool, interesting spot. It's super quirky, and when it comes to Bob Bernquist, he's always doing these sorts of crazy things. So a really, really nice thing to feature on our podcast. So the second spot, we are going to be looking at the super iconic spot, which is the Brooklyn Banks. Many of you would probably know about this spot, and hopefully a lot of you don't know about it, but it is really one of the birthplaces of skateboarding on the East Coast, and especially in New York City. So fantastic spot that's actually being, or it's said to be, revamped and renovated, and it's actually been, until recently, sort of shut off from the public. So it's been sort of boarded up, and they were supposed to be doing a whole bunch of renovations, which has taken forever. There's been a real fight going on between some of the skateboarders in New York City and some of those iconic skateboarders who first started to skate the Brooklyn Banks to save this place and make sure that it doesn't get destroyed, which looks like it's not going to, when they're going to develop that area and sort of just do the Brooklyn Banks up and not actually get rid of them, which is fantastic. So two, yeah, really epic spots that are completely different to each other, but also very interesting and something that really we wanted to feature on Skatespot Pod. All right, so jumping into the first skate spot of this episode, we're just going to do a little bit of a, I guess, history check here. And I mean, a lot of you would know who Bob Bernquist is, but for those of you who are not familiar, he was born in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil to an American father of Swedish descent and a Brazilian mother. So he began skateboarding in his hometown of Sao Paulo at 11 years old. Now, impressively, he turned pro when he was just 14. In 1995, he first competed at the Slam City Jam in Vancouver against the majority of top skateboarders in the world. Being pretty much unknown at the time, he was really to shock the professional skateboarding world with his technical style and his switch stance abilities. So he ended up taking first place at this competition, and really the rest was just history at that point. Bob's specialties are his switch stance style and also creating vert tricks. He does have a signature trick called the Wee Willie Grind. So Bob Bernquist has had enormous success over the past few decades. He's taken countless gold medals at X Games competitions, And one of his most famous X Games runs was actually in 2001 with a showdown against Bucky Lasek. And he basically countered him with an almost perfect run after Bucky's like flawless attempt. And this has been described as one of the best vert runs in history. He is really not shy about performing, you know, these sorts of insane stunts also. So during 2006, he completed a base jump attempting a 50-50 grind into the Grand Canyon. So his first attempt nearly cost him his life as he actually missed the rail and fell out of control. But the second attempt, however, was successful. So he also has his own private skate park called Dreamland. One of the most famous parts of this skate park is actually this mega ramp. So the ramp is made up of a 50 to 70 foot gap jump, followed by a 30-foot quarter pipe. And he also does kind of open up this park to other professional skateboarders as well, sort of enabling them to train for more of these mega ramp competitions. Now, if you really want to just see how skilled of a skater Bob Burnquist is, you have to check out the video that we have actually have added to our article in the link provided in the podcast description of him actually skating his own skate park called Dreamland. It is really insane. I mean, even to this day. So like the fact that he can pull off these moves on these mega ramps is just crazy. And I mean, the guy, it's like he can just kind of stretch in any way. And it almost looks like his deck is just kind of like permanently stuck to his feet. Like you can really get to see just how good he is when he's skating switch. It's just huge respect for the skill that it takes to do what he does in this clip. And I really have never seen anything on vert this good, in my opinion. I saw this clip like years ago, but it's just even better watching it now. So definitely check that out. It was, yeah, released by Thrasher as kind of like a flashback video, and it's just epic. So you have to check that out. So during 2013, when Visit California approached Bob to be a part of its Dream Big campaign to boost tourism in the state of California, it was natural that he was going to pull out something just radical and something that's really never been seen before. The Dream 360 project was a digital innovation that was about showcasing shareable video and image content that could be sort of used as a medium for inspiration and celebration with a focus on dreams and making them a reality. So Bob's video is just one of many stories that featured sort of different celebrities and sports people that were sort of featured over a 24-hour period. So they showcased 24 dreams in 24 hours over a variety of digital platforms. So Bob and team, in their usual fashion, came up with the idea to create a floating ramp and place it in Lake Tahoe. So his team, including master ramp designers Jeff King and Jerry Blom, spent over 300 man hours spanning over 4 days, along with 1,250 screws to create this almost 3.5-ton floating ramp. So when we were looking into this floating ramp, we actually figured out that it wasn't the first time that this has been done. So during the same year, Volcom built a floating ramp, which was released in a film called True to This. And the floating ramp is skated by Grant Taylor and David Gonzalez. This ramp, it's really nowhere near the same size or looks as impressive as the Lake Tahoe ramp. Interestingly enough, like Volcom did do this and featured it in that movie. And one of the funny things I saw was they have a clip of that on the Volcom YouTube channel. And the headline for the video clearly states the original floating ramp. So not sure if Volcom is a little bit bitter on what was done with the Lake Tahoe floating ramp. But at any rate, they're both super cool ideas. And we have also provided the links for the Volcom floating ramp along with the Lake Tahoe ramp as well. And that's up on our website at theskateboardingcrucible.com. And you can easily find that in the links in the podcast description. So what ended up being created was an 8-foot-tall wooden bank ramp accompanied by a smaller 5-foot secondary half pipe. So both wooden ramps rest on a 35-feet-long floating platform. You also have this rail that is on the opposite side of the 8-foot bank, and it runs off a smaller ramp that goes straight into the water. Now, the wood on the ramp is stained in like this range of sort of different colors, and it's just super cool. Like, it almost looks like a designer piece of furniture that you would see in a really sort of exclusive ski chalet or, you know, something that's just super sort of posh and trendy. So the design team's main concern was obviously around sort of weight distribution and avoiding any leakage and making sure that this thing would actually float and not just end up at the bottom of Lake Tahoe. So they end up towing this thing out on the lake. The weather is like totally pristine with water. The water's just like aqua blue, and the ramp floats perfectly. So they have drones that are flying around overhead, and the first shot is sort of Bob, and he just drops down to the half pipe and starts skating it. It is a very cool short film, and I mean, it must have been quite a hit for this tourism campaign. So he does some tricks and airs, and he finishes off with sort of doing this 50-50 grind on the rail straight into the water of Lake Tahoe. And it just looks super fun and just, yeah, I mean, if the sort of concept is dream big, then they've definitely hit the nail on the head with this video. And you can, again, check that out at the link in the description of a podcast. And we've also added some photos as well that have been taken from the day that they're skating this out on the lake. Now, what happened to this ramp after it was used in the campaign is a bit of a mystery. We can't find any documentation of like how it was used for skateboarding after the promotional shoot or how long it was out on the water for, guessing by sort of maybe like the environmental sort of protection laws and everything that they have on, you know, surrounding Lake Tahoe. It was probably not out there for very long. And the cool thing was actually, like, when we posted this up on Facebook several months back, we did get this guy who started commenting saying that he actually now has the ramp. So he started to also post some photos and of it and like him transporting it away and on his trailer and all this sort of stuff. But basically he did manage to get his hands on it, and he used the ramp as sort of an accompaniment to this off-grid cabin that he built in the woods. So he sent photos over sort of the whole process, and it looks pretty legit and super cool that like it could be reused in this way, and the fact that this post that we did on Facebook actually reached this guy. So yeah, really, really interesting there. So even though this ramp doesn't exist anymore, it's still a super cool spot that we wanted to feature on this podcast. So there was a lot of comments on our Facebook post about this from people who, out of their own accord, have built floating ramps before. So it's not a groundbreaking idea. Like, people have been doing these things before, but I think just the design, the way it looks, and just sort of the video and things that are shot, this ramp, it's, yeah, I have not seen a floating ramp that looks this epic before. So super epic spot that is definitely a must for us to feature on Skate Spot Pod. Believe it or not, there was a time that even in New York City, there were no skate parks. So starting in the late 1980s, this spot provided one of the only skatable banked areas in the city. So the Brooklyn Banks is the unofficial name for the area under the Manhattan side of the Brooklyn Bridge. So this place for decades has been extremely popular for not only skateboarders, but BMX and also rollerbladers as well. When we were looking into the Brooklyn Banks, there was a ton of old sort of footage of rollerbladers, and that was a real flashback in time. I mean, I haven't watched anything related to rollerblading for decades. And yeah, it was kind of a trip back to sort of early high school, when the sport was kind of popular, so in the 90s and I don't even think 2000s, but sort of at least throughout the 90s, rollerblading was pretty popular. But anyway, there's a ton of different film of so many different skateboarders and BMX and rollerbladers from the spot. So it's even been cemented in history, featuring in a number of video games as well. And it was included in the iconic Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. And it's also featured in Skate 3. I haven't played Skate 3, but it's said to be in that as well. So yeah, at any rate, it's a spot that is regarded as one of the most famous in the world, and it is actually easy to see why. So the Brooklyn Banks is a number of smooth banked surfaces, and all the banks are made of red bricks, which gives this spot a really iconic look that's really easily distinguishable. And on either sides of the bridge, these banks vary in size. So one side, between Park Row and Rose Street, there were small, more mellow banks that kind of backed onto more of a plaza setting, And on the other side, between Rose and Pearl Streets, there are larger banks that are accompanied by these huge pillars that act as the foundation to the Brooklyn Bridge. So not only are the big banks used, but the pillars also act as skate obstacles as well for many tricks. And over the years, ledges and a whole bunch of other things have kind of been added to the top of the banks, just giving it a really pure DIY feel. So the whole area, however, is much more than just banks. So there are multiple stairs, there's ledges, there's rails, and there is flats. And I mean, the natural environment really is a perfect setting for skateboarding. You couldn't really build something that was more perfect for it, to be honest. So apart from the larger banks, there are also a number of iconic sections that actually have been used by skateboarders over the past decades. And one of those more popular or more famous spots is on the side of the bridge where the smaller banks are located. There is a transition from the bank over to a ledge, and it goes over the ledge onto one of the exit ramps of the bridge. There is a lot of famous footage of people doing this sort of transition from bank onto the exit ramp, but one of the more famous videos or things that have been captured is of Eric Costin doing a nollie backside heel over this in 1997. And we have that video in our article, so go and check that out if you want. So this section also made the cover of Thrasher in February of 1993. And this is a shot of Jeff Pang, and he's doing a backside shifty over it. Mike Vallely also ollies over this thing after they actually installed a metal picket fence around it, so to stop people from going from the bank over on the exit ramp. And this is probably one of the more crazier things that we've seen come out of the Brooklyn banks, to be honest. So the fence is just, it's almost like a metal, it's a metal picket fence. And the day before that Mike V was trying to attempt this, he almost impaled himself. And then he actually came back the next day and just clears it, and it clears it so confidently. I mean, the fence is so damn high, it's insane that he actually manages to get over this thing and just does it so smoothly. So that's a super cool, quick video that we've also got in our article as well. So you need to check that one out too. So there's also a nine stair that is divided by a rail, and this one features in pretty much the majority of footage that's out there. So this nine stair did make the cover of Thrasher in October of 1995, and it's a 5-0 grind being done by Chad Musker. So there's another really famous clip of Jamie Thomas, and this has been called the kind of famous Jamie Thomas line, and it starts with a grind down the nine stair, and after he finishes that, he kind of works his way down over the plaza doing some other tricks, and he goes towards this larger 13 stair set that's actually on the side where the larger banks are located, and he ends up doing a big 50-50 grind down this. So this one, yeah, another one that probably a lot of you would know, and if not, just go and check out the video that we have on, we've actually put on our article as well. And yeah, it's a super famous run from Jamie Thomas, and pretty crazy that he can kind of just work his way down and do so many tricks so flawlessly. Now, the skateboarding community has had to save the banks on multiple occasions, and this has been mainly pushed by skateboarder and community organizer Steve Rodriguez. So for those of you who don't know Steve, he is considered the mayor of New York City skateboarding, with over three decades of skateboarding the city. And he is just one of the few skateboarders who are riding every day throughout New York City during the 80s and 90s. And during the 80s, he would skate through the city doing deliveries and errands. It's said that his mum had a store, so he would, yeah, just kind of make deliveries for her, and he was able to discover so many spots by just skating the streets so often. And apart from saving the Brooklyn banks, he also had his own skateboard company called Five Borough Skateboards, and he has been part of organizing a ton of contests and also designing a lot of skate parks as well. So if we fast forward to 2005, and New York City actually agreed to keep the larger banks after the city remodeled over half of the skate spot. So the little banks were actually destroyed, which is really a shame. But it was during the same year that Steve Rodriguez started the annual Back to the Banks competition to raise money for the restoration for the area. We have some videos of, I think it's the 2008 Back to the Banks, I believe, and that is on our article as well, so please check that out. But the fight was kind of short-lived. So during 2010, New York City turned the space surrounding the larger banks into a storage facility for the Brooklyn Bridge restoration project. And it really sucks because the entire area was just has been closed off for well over a decade. And during 2014, a petition was created to reopen the banks, but that really didn't help, and they remain closed. So if we keep going until kind of 2020, and with the banks still being shut, the city actually began removing some of the red bricks from the area. And this really started to set off a panic within the skateboarding community. And a lot of people went to social media with hashtag rip the Brooklyn banks. And it was during this time that another online petition was actually set up, and it was called Save the Brooklyn Banks, what is called Save the Brooklyn Banks. And this initiative was created by college student Jonathan Becker. And with actually help from Steve Rodriguez, this petition has gained over 54,000 signatures. We signed it the other day, and we have put a link in the podcast description as well to the petition. So if you have the time, please go and sign this. It's for a really, really great cause. So with this petition, it started gaining a lot of traction, obviously, like with having 54,000 signatures, but the skateboarding project, which was originally the Tony Hawk Foundation, they actually jumped on board and have agreed to help with the planning and actual restoration for the area.
So what's now being kicked off is something called Gotham Park. And that is an initiative by a group called the Brooklyn Bridge Manhattan, and that's a New York State nonprofit that was co-founded in 2001 by Steve Rodriguez and a couple of other people as well. So Gotham Park is the development of a new public space, will act as a central junction for the greater Manhattan suburbs. And in this plan, along with, as I mentioned, help from the Skate Park Project, the idea is for the smaller and larger banks to be rebuilt and reopened. So this skateboarding mecca will be completely revamped, which is fantastic. So during May of 2023, stage one was actually opened, which includes the nine stair with rail. And we have a video in our article, and that's kind of like a best trick competition from this nine stair that Steve Rodriguez is there and probably had a big hand in sort of organizing that as well. So stage two of this project is set to commence during 2024, once the bridge work is finally completed. And rebuilding the smaller and larger banks along with the plaza are scheduled to take place during stage two. And if you are interested in more information or updates on this project, just have a look at the podcast description, and we have put the Gotham Park project there for anybody who is interested. So that was it for the second episode of season two. We hope you enjoyed these spots today. And as we mentioned in the introduction, please don't be shy to give us a review. It really helps us to appear or come up in the search results for people to discover this podcast. And don't forget to also check out that petition to save the Brooklyn banks. And as we mentioned, the link is in the description below. So we know that there was a bit of a gap between our last episode and this one. We do apologize for the delay bringing this to you. It's just taken a little bit longer to record. But we're hoping that episode three will come out a little bit quicker. But until then, we really thank you for your time, and have a great evening or a great morning wherever you are in the world. Take care now. Bye.